and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody's doing great. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day. And hope you guys are ready to talk some football because we've got plenty of it to talk about. Again, we will be previewing some more of this Alabama-Vanderbilt matchup. Did a little bit of an early preview yesterday. Pulled up a couple clips. We'll definitely plan on continuing that in today's breakdown of this matchup. Again, it's a college game day matchup. Sounds kind of crazy still thinking about Alabama-Vanderbilt. But again, I hope you guys understand, man, Vanderbilt is a new program, man, right now under Clark Lee, who's done a great job, him and Diego Pavia, bringing in the coordinator from New Mexico State or wherever they came from. But they've completely flipped things around, and I was listening to CBS, and I think I heard a stat. This is the first time since 1937 or something, way back when, that these two teams are meeting in a matchup both ranked, right? So got to put some respect on this Vanderbilt team's name, man. They definitely play some good ball. I went back and had watched a little bit more of the Vanderbilt-South Carolina game. I understand that Sellers was hurt, but still, man, just watching really this offense that they're bringing, which we saw what they're able to do last year in terms of their ability to keep the football, time of possession, and really just spark some big plays, man. It's very interesting to see where they're at now. I'd argue that this team is definitely better than it was last year. And their offense almost seems like it's taken another step from where we talked about those option elements, and we'll continue to talk about that. But now you're seeing even more shots that they're taking. They do get it in the gun, which, again, they did this stuff last year, but you're starting to see even more of it. Basically, what I'm getting at is it's like the offense has evolved even further, and it definitely is going to be quite the challenge for our defense. And we'll talk about those challenges and more here on the show. So make sure you guys are ready for that. Plus, we will be talking with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at 12:15. So make sure you guys are tuned in for that. He'll be joining us here on the Miller's Edge. I believe this is his first time coming on here, but I know he does a lot of good work covering Alabama football. So we got him coming on at 12:15 to discuss this matchup between Alabama and Vanderbilt and a number of other things all Alabama related. So make sure you guys are ready for that. And per usual, got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. If you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they'll take care of it right there at the Good Feet Store located in Midtown Village off of McFarland Boulevard. Again, these things are game changers. Just throw them in your shoes. They get to work, whether it's shoes, boots. I mean, hell, even heels probably, because they have the little stick pads that you can put underneath, or at least in the sole. But make sure you guys check them out. I promise they can explain it even better than you. I can just tell you by my experience, these things are the real deal, especially if you're on your feet a lot, and nurses, teachers, whatever it may be, you're in the gym a lot, you're always walking dogs like I am, check them out, man. These things are lifesavers. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, goodfeet.com. You can find more information in the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. A couple other things that we'll dive into as well. Player interviews from yesterday. I know, I believe Ty Simpson, Parker Brailsford was in there. Trying to think of who else. There are several player interviews from yesterday, so we'll definitely probably pod those up and listen to them. Definitely listen to Ty Simpson, who also has been receiving a lot of recognition this week after his performance against Georgia, going on the road and leading that team to a big victory over the Bulldogs. So we'll hear from him. We hadn't heard from the coordinators just yet, but I'll probably try to, not necessarily clip it up, but just pot it up. That way we're not listening to the whole thing, because that will probably take a good bit of time. And I don't want to run out of time. But again, we got plenty of interviews we'll dive into. And also want to talk with you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines if you guys want to get on the action. I promise I'm trying to get to the phone lines quicker. That way we can get everybody on here. And so I think we've been doing a little bit better with that. So we're going to continue that as well. Plus, we've gotten back to the app messages. So Tide 100.9, download that app. It's right there on the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, all that good stuff. You can find it there. And if you download it, you can leave app messages, voice messages. Is that, so if you can't call in, if you got a rant or something you got to get off your chest or just want to chime in, you can record a voice message and we can play live on air. So we got all types. So we got the stream at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. We got the app you can download with the app messages, all that good stuff. Facebook, we're live streaming on Tide 100.9. The Miller's Edge is everywhere for you guys. So hopefully you guys are taking advantage of that. Real quick before we hit this first time out, really dive into some stuff, man. Some more updates on the whole Johnny Manziel thing, right? I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday. He'll be in town. He's making an appearance at Two Dimes. He's going to be on the sideline rocking a Pavia jersey, right? I think he's kind of just doing it because he likes the attention, but who knows? But he has some more stuff that he said. This is coming from On3. I'm just reading. This isn't from the whole article, but just the quote that it leads off with. It talks about him saying, "I'm like, learn from my mistakes, brother. Learn from Johnny. Don't beat Johnny off the field. I beat them once. Diego's got a chance to beat them twice." That's the kind of stuff they build statues for. So I guess if anybody was wondering if Alabama still holds weight in terms of the brand, they allegedly claim that if you beat Alabama twice, you get a statue built. Chase Reed, it's kind of crazy, right? I mean, like, I feel like people can't make up their minds, man. One minute they're making it seem like, you know, we're just like the rest of the pack, which, I mean, if you're saying our results on the field, sure, I can understand that. But on the other hand, they're talking about building statues if this guy potentially beats Alabama two times in a row, which is not going to be easy for him either. I know we're talking about the challenges of defending them, but you look at Alabama, the way we've been playing the past three football games outside, you know, after that Florida State week one loss. I mean, we've been playing some really good football, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if they're going to have quite the answer for our offense as explosive as we've been in all the weapons that we have. So definitely looking forward to this matchup and definitely looking forward to talking about it. So let's do this. Let's hit our first timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. We'll start with the player interview, I think. I think we'll start with Ty Simpson's interview or maybe a coordinator interview. We'll choose since that's 2 days behind. We'll figure that out. But we'll start there. We'll start diving into this matchup. I'll throw some clips up on the screen like I did yesterday that we can talk about, take a look at, preview some things. So make sure you guys, if you want to see that, watch that, make sure you head on over to the YouTube stream at the Miller's Edge or Tide 100.9's Facebook page. You can watch the live stream there as well if you guys would like to see those breakdowns during the show. All right, quick timeout. We come back. We get rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by our good friends at the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. We'll be right back.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Getting ready to do some more Alabama-Vanderbilt previewing of this matchup. Again, they do travel to Tuscaloosa. College game day will be here, 2:30 kick Central Time. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about it. And first, we're actually going to hear from Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson, who spoke to the media post-practice yesterday. So this is what QB1 had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know better than that, right? I was trying to make a play. I knew, you know, Zay was open early, but I just tried to do too much, you know what I mean? After that, right, I was like, all right, like, you know, just take a deep breath, right? Just relax, go do, you know, go do what I do, make the easy part easy, and just, you know, calm down and go through my reads. And so after that, I felt like I really just, you know, took in the experience and just played ball.
So I know you were obviously starting quarterback a season ago for the transition from Georgia to Vanderbilt, but How do you sense that you guys have flipped the page compared to last year between those two games?
Yeah, you know, like you said, right, I wasn't playing, but I was on the team, and so I felt how it was last year, you know what I mean? But, you know, the mentality of the locker room this week, right, is, you know, what about, you know, we remember, you know what I mean? Like, we remember what happened last year. What are we going to do about it? You know, even though it's not about last year, it's about us.
New and existing customers can get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us.
iPhone timeout. And we are back in about 2 seconds. Sorry. Which I'm trying to get my new iPhone, but they're not in stock. Here we go.
Same mistake again, you know what I mean? Like, we're gonna, you know, they're not the same team last year, neither are we, you know what I mean? Like, they're better, and we're better in some ways. So we need, you know, this is a top 25 matchup, you know, College game day coming in here. Like, this is a really, really good Vanderbilt team, and if not one of the biggest games of the year, you know what I mean? So, you know, we need to come in with the mentality like we have been all our, you know, all these past couple games, like a chip on our shoulder, and it's Alabama against the world.
Caden been campaigning for more targets this week after.
Yeah, he's trying to. He told me the other day, he was like, I can catch the ball, and I would see if I can throw the ball. And I was like, no, you stick to catching, and let me stick to throwing.
What was the success rate in practice for that play? Was it?
So we ran. Yeah, so we ran it a couple of times, right? And we ran it in camp against our defense, and we had told him, right, you know, hey, like wipe off your hands, like we're coming to you, you know, because it's, you know, freaking hot and sweaty, right? And he was like, all right, and we had ran it a couple times to walk through. So sure enough, right, one of the scrimmages, we do it, we throw it to him, hit him in his chest, and he drops it. So, you know, we were campaigning, right, like, hey, get on my jugs just in case. So he's been great ever since, though.
All the old linemen on the jugs now, or they?
No. They've been on the pads, on the blocking sled, so they're doing a great job.
Is there like a depth chart for that play, like who's next in line after Proctor?
Maybe two quarterbacks. We'll see. Keep you on your toes.
Have you met Diego at all from camps or anything like that?
I've not. I got a ton of respect for him, though, man. Like, he's a dog. He plays with a chip on his shoulder as well. Like, you know, watching him and their highlights throughout, you know, the season, man. Like, you know, seeing last year, now he gets a ton of respect from, you know, Johnny Manziel. Like, just like I said, man, ton of respect for that guy. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, like, yeah, it's going to be a good game, man. Like, you know, we got a good defense. I got a good offense. So it'll be exciting.
A lot of talking is a kid at all.
Oh, of course. Like, who didn't? You know what I mean? Like, it'll be it'll be good. You know, he's going to be here, right? I saw, you know, Theo Vaughn came through here. I know he's close with, you know, Diego. Just a ton of respect for him, man. And those guys on offense at Vanderbilt, they do a really good job. So, you know, we need to do a good job this week, you know, just being on our P's and Q's, right, and understand all the versatile stuff that those guys do, and just, you know, be us.
A lot of talk about, you know, poise and confidence on the road at Georgia. Like, heading into week five, do you feel, I guess, confident in your ability to run Brian Grubb's scheme? And is
YouTube Premium is ad-free.
Another timeout there. Here we go. And about there.
Like, yeah, I have a ton of confidence, right? It's because of that guy right there, you know. Yeah. It's one of, you know, my center, right? It's the guys around me. Yeah. It's the coaches. It's my team in general. Like, you know, there's no other, you know, place in the country I want to play for. There's no other guys in the country I want to play with. You know what I mean? Like, be on the field with those guys, like, gives me comfort. You know, my Lord and Savior gives me comfort. You know, just being able to play football, because I felt like I didn't take it for granted, but, you know, I've just missed it the last couple of years, you know what I mean? Like, being able to compete all the time and compete every day, like, it just is a different type of feeling. So being able to step on the field with those guys, just a blessing and, you know, a great opportunity.
Tyler Booker showed up wearing your jersey on Saturday Night Football. Parker was saying that he called you after the game in Georgia. What's your relationship still like with him, and how much was his leadership still felt in this locker room?
Yeah, no, I mean, he called me and Parker on the bus after the game, right? Like, he probably called me three times, yeah. Like, you know, between kickoff and then, you know, after the game. Like, he was as tuned in as he could be, like he was on the team, right? But Book is why I'm here. Book is why I stay, you know, pretty much, right? Like, he's my best friend. We came in together. We literally, like, you know, on our official visit, we were there together. You know what I mean? And we kind of talked, and we were like, are we coming? We were both like, why not, you know? And so, you know, in the you know, the circumstances that I had, you know, I talked to him about a lot of stuff, and, you know, he just he's one of my best friends, right? And, you know, Parker is one of my best friends. Those guys who protect me. And, you know, him wearing my jersey Sunday Night Football, he called me, like, you know, what a guy, man. Like, you know, he didn't have to do that. I love him to death. And, you know, him being not on the team but always talking to us is a huge, you know, it happens. His voice is still heard, you know what I mean? Because we have a ton of respect for him and guys like that.
Hey, Ty, so that pass to Kaden Proctor, were you scared that he was going to drop? Were you nervous at all?
No comment.
Come on, bro.
No, I had full confidence, you know what I mean? I was just worried about, you know, the center and making his call.
What have you seen from Miles Capers on film as a pass rusher?
Man, he's the real deal. He flies upfield. He flies around the ball. They get the ball out, you know, on the whole defense. Like, you know, these guys are, you know, very physical, very fundamentally sound, man. Like, you know, we've been harping all week, all practice, right, about, like, being disciplined and, you know, making our calls right and playing with good technique, right, because that's what's going to separate us, you know, this week. Like, these guys, you know their scheme. They know what to do. They know their calls. And we just need to, you know, make sure, right, that we, you know, it's all about us. We said it last week, right? You know, great technique, great calls, great execution, right? Because these guys, you know, understand what they do. They're physical. They fly around and they play for one another. So, you know, they play great complementary football. And, you know, we just need to make sure, right, that we're on the right mindset.
You've got a few games under your belt now. What is it like being a leader at the University of Alabama?
It's a dream come true. You know what I mean? Like, I came here, you know, wanting to be a captain, wanting to have the opportunity to lead a team to a championship, right? You know, always dreamed about playing the SEC, playing in big time games like this one, like having College Game Day here. And then, you know, the fact that I get to, you know, put my foot in, you know, Denny Chimes and be, you know, represented for the rest of my life as an Alabama captain and bring my kids back here one day and my grandkids, like, what more could you ask for? You know what I mean? Like, this is the mecca of college football. And the fact that God's given me the opportunity and the platform to be here is, you know, amazing. I thank him every day that, you know, I get to live out my dream.
Ty, what do you remember? Sorry, you already mentioned this a little bit, but what do you remember from the Vanderbilt Field Storm last year? Like, what emotions were you
on? Yeah, it hurt. I'm going to be honest, right? You know, one, being from Tennessee, you know, Nashville, I remember visiting Vanderbilt. And then two, you know, the fact that, like, you know, we had, you know, just found our identity with a big win like we did last week. You know what I mean? So the fact that we went in there and, you know, we didn't play our best and they stormed the field, right? Nobody likes a, you know, field storm. So, you know, that's in the back of our mind. And, you know, we don't want to remember last year, but we also want to understand that, like, last year happened. It can't just go away, right? But it's all about us in this year. You know what I mean? Like, they're not the same team as last year. If, you know, they're better than they were last year, right? And we're better than we were last year in some way. You know what I mean? So, you know, we need to understand that, like, we're focused on us, focused on what they do on their scheme, right? But it's all about us, you know, keep a chip on our shoulder. Alabama gets the world, and, you know, we're the man in the arena, right? No matter where we play and who's it against, right? We're the gladiators, and that's the Coliseum.
All right, so there you go. That was QB1 Ty Simpson speaking to the media yesterday. Obviously enough, a lot of things that he said that we'll talk about and break down when we come back. After this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, we will be joined by Clint Lamb at 1215, so we'll look forward to that. But in the meantime, we'll keep breaking some of these things down, go to the tape a little bit, and keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Chance to win tickets. Bring the entire family. Enjoy food, fun, and one of the largest art shows in the Southeast. For more info on the festival, go to kintuck.org.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating
patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Fred.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
House.
The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Just got done listening to Ty Simpson speak to the media yesterday, talking about a number of things, a couple of things back in that Georgia game, his confidence in Caden Proctor. I guess, he said no comment. I'll be honest, I don't blame him, man. I mean, big guys catching the football, something they don't normally do. I'd be a little nervous myself, but execution was great. But now, I guess my thought, Reed and Chase, is like, obviously, they still have that play, but people are going to be more keen to it. They're going to be alert when they see that kind of stuff. But how do they build off of it, man? I mean, if I had to guess, I know what Caden Proctor's thinking because he asked about throwing the ball. He's probably thinking a double pass, right? Toss it to him. People think he's about to run and then have somebody running down the field. But I think that's where we draw the line, guys. Him catching the ball, I think he needs to be good with that. I do not want to see him throwing the ball, especially doesn't he wear like all these damn braces on his shoulder and stuff? That sounds like a disaster. But I mean, I can see you faking that play, going back the other way or something like that. I don't know, but I definitely think they build off of it. But speaking of, I guess, gimmicky plays, I've got pulled up on the stream. I know yesterday we were talking about the shovel play that worked really well for Vanderbilt last year. They ran it against South Carolina. You see it come up in the second quarter here. And, again, definitely will expect them to maybe pull it out. But I'll be honest, just like I said yesterday, I feel like going into this game, if Kane Womack is not preparing these guys to see all these things that they saw last year and that you've seen on tape, I mean, I just would be shocked. I genuinely feel like they're probably going to be – defense is probably going to be working their tails off through practice because, I mean, this Vanderbilt offense is just there's just so many different things. And this is just a highlight that I have pulled up on here. So it's not every single play in the sequence. However, one of the next plays that comes up is a reverse that they get to. They run a number of different things, but that option-based offense is definitely tough. And we got to be disciplined. We definitely got to be disciplined. Looking at their defense, though, I'll be honest, they do a good job stopping the run. They base more out of that 4-2-5 look. But secondary, we talked about yesterday in terms of their passing defense, isn't great. And I don't know. I know the numbers look good against them stopping the run. I know they had some big numbers, I think, against Utah State. I believe they had like 3 sacks and at least like 6 or so tackles for losses. So they're very disruptive, but that's Utah State. Just watching their guys, I mean, they're good players, but they don't like blow me away. And I feel like they might come to reality when they face an Alabama football team. I know South Carolina is an SEC opponent and they had some, you know, higher expectations going into the year, but just watching even that Carolina team, I wonder if my dad's going to jump on here because I would love to get his thoughts because he watched that game through and through live. And I don't know. His Gamecocks right now, man, they're a little, I don't know, they're a little shaky to me. But that being said, we'll keep diving into this. I guess I could let this play. I just feel bad for the radio listeners because they can't necessarily see this. But on the screen, we've got the shovel play, and I was telling everybody – in the chat that by this point, you guys know the drill, man. If your key block's down, you got to close. They don't do that. He climbs up to the quarterback. And then the lane, he actually did a nice job kind of reverting back. And they had 3 carries right here, but Nice play by the running back, spinning out of it and making something out of nothing. End up getting the first down there. But those are the types of plays you see out of these guys, man. They're scrappy. They're tough. This is not the same Vanderbilt team. I know we talked about that last year, but even just watching them this year, and it's interesting because, like, watching their offense, you guys hear me talk about Tennessee and what they do, right? Their whole thing is like they're spreading you out. They end up running the ball a whole bunch, right? Because you have to respect the splits and the receivers, because they will throw the ball. They do a lot of stuff out of that, but they also really want to run the football, and then they get you light in the box. Vanderbilt is almost like flipping that. Vanderbilt runs a lot of options, you know, a lot of running the football a lot. They got a quarterback that they call a bunch of design run for. So what does that mean? You have to respect the running game, and then you load up the box because you have to. Because of personnel, they're in a lot of 12 personnel, 21 personnel. They're trying to run the football. But then what they build off of that is they'll take shots. And so when you do load the box, they know there's less guys dropping in coverage, and they look to try to take advantage of that. So it's almost like flipping the whole Tennessee method or the philosophy of what they do offensively. And you see right here, on this play right here, they're working out of the gun, but still, I mean, they'll throw the football too, right? So, and then they've been throwing a lot more, I feel like. I mean, Diego Pavia does a really nice job as well. I mean, you just see right here, you know, containing him is going to be huge in this game. Obviously, with the whole option attack, that's the first battle, but the second one is, you know, in terms of pass rush lanes, will be huge, because he's obviously very talented when it comes to the scramble drill, being elusive, finding different things. As you see right here, I mean, he's rolling out, scrambling, and he just dumps it off to the check down the back right there. Carolina had that play pretty much handled. Back catches it for a 4-yard gain, makes a couple guys miss him, ends up picking up the first down. Stuff like that is, and keeping them on the field, you can't have that in this game. We looked at last year's game, and if you guys remember, the whole tale of last year's game was time of possession. We got dominated in, and part of that, which is my next part, is we couldn't get off the field on third down. Now, we've been doing much better than this year. Georgia game, we were great. I think Georgia's 2 of 8 on third down, so that's going to have to carry over, because that obviously was a huge issue last year. Next play on here, you see right here, they run the reverse, right? So, and not only that, I like this play out of Pavia, man. I mean, he becomes a lead blocker. You see him, he's getting downfield. Look at him rolling on his shoulder. I mean, he's not just, it's not one of those, the quarterback just kind of gets in the way. I mean, he's dropping hat. And it was a very clean block. I mean, he kind of took a little bit himself, but ended up being a really nice block, and they pick up another first down. So defensively, man, again, I can't preach it enough, man. Discipline, assignment, football. You got to have good eye discipline and just good discipline in general in terms of doing your job and not trying to do too much, or you will get beat, right? I'm not necessarily saying like beating the game, but I'm saying beat on a play, get beat on your, you know, on your assignment. You got to be disciplined. You got to take care of business. But I'll keep breaking some of this stuff down. But as you guys see, man, this offense, man, it's very effective. They do a really nice job running it, and they've gotten even better, just like you heard Ty say. I mean, they're a better team than they were last year, if that tells you anything. So if you hear anybody in the media that's saying, like, oh, it's just Vanderbilt, and they're kind of just brushing it off, don't listen to them. Because when you turn on the tape, man, really solid football team that can present a lot of challenges. And they've got the confidence to go with it, man. They're not going to lie down, I can tell you that much. All right, we got to hit another timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We'll continue looking at some of these looks. We'll look a little bit more at the defense here in a minute, too, but we also get some of these other player interviews, get some of these defensive guys to get their thoughts as well, and we'll keep on rolling. Plus, we're open on the phone lines if anybody wants to get on the conversation before Clint jumps on at 1215. 205-342-9904 is the number. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
I'm Bank Guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Opening a primetime Mets clinic October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. PrimetimeMetsClinic.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon, partly sunny, a small chance of a shower through early tonight. The high today, 88, tonight's low, 63. For tomorrow and Friday, a good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. While we're talking about, and we've been talking so much about Vanderbilt's offense, I promise we'll talk a little bit more about their defense here in a minute, but I think offensively, that's the big key here in this game. No disrespect to their defense. Again, they are one of the top rushing defenses in the conference, right? And they're a pretty solid unit. I just believe really the key in this football game. I got full confidence. This, the way our offense is firing on all cylinders, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm very confident there. What does kind of cause me a little concern is our defense, the fact that we're giving up so many yards on the ground, and this is one of the top rushing teams in the country. And not only that, one of our other kryptonites or our weaknesses is a quarterback that's got a dual threat ability and can make plays with his legs. Well, this guy pretty much is the epitome of that. So obviously I want to focus my attention there for a little bit, but I promise we'll talk a little bit more about their defense here in a minute. But first, while we're talking about their offense, let's go ahead and hear from one of our guys break down their offense. That was team captain Deontay Lawson, Alabama starting linebacker. He spoke to the media yesterday as well post practice. So here's what he had to say.
Like, it was a day, a step in the right direction, and now just got to keep building on the day.
Looking back on the Georgia game, sort of what stood out to you?
I think the way we was just focused going into the game, and just the ability to execute when we needed to, and even when they struck back and threw punches, we were still able to take the punch and fight back. So that's something to keep building on, and you know, we're ready for this week.
The team talked about the perimeter runs sort of hurting you guys. How can you guys get better, and what's sort of missing in that area?
I think everybody just being gap sound, and that's if a corner is in his fit, or if we're in cover two, the corner need to fit the edge and things like that, and also just running to the ball, just pursuing. Like, I mean, we call ourselves Swarm D, so we got to swarm to the ball, especially on the perimeter. So that's something we've been preaching the past couple of weeks is when the ball declares, everyone gets to the ball and, you know, be violent when you get there.
How important is that for a game like this week going against a quarterback like Diego Pavia?
Yeah, super important. You know, Pavia is definitely a playmaker, and we got to make sure we leverage across the field. We got to create a fence across the field so everyone's gap sound, and you know, we can limit him and limit their explosive plays.
Now, speaking of their offense, what are some similarities and differences that you see from them compared to last season?
It's pretty the same offense. They do a lot more in the passing game because Pavia has definitely improved as a passer, and you know, that just opened them up more in the passing game, but it's still the same thing for real.
Is there any yesterday, Kane was asked, I can't remember if it was who's improved the most in pass rush or somebody who's grown. He kind of answered, and then he was like, wait, and he started talking about you and your pass rush ability. Just kind of how have you seen yourself grow in that area, and kind of how is that a part of your game?
That's something I'm still working on every day. Try to get with Jamie Moses after practice every day, try to get a little bit in, because I always been like an interior rusher and been pretty good at it, but now I'm trying to widen my play a little bit and come off the edge a little bit if I need to. So that's just something I'm still working on, just ready for my opportunity.
Yeah, you said they're kind of transitioning you or using you kind of like they used Jahad last year. Mm-hmm. Has that been something research and what you've been working on since fall camp?
Yeah, no doubt. Once he told me, I was super excited for it. It's something I kind of wanted to do when I first got here, but I moved to inside linebacker and it's just been an inside thing. But super excited for the opportunity and just want to keep working.
Do you anticipate we'll see that more given the injuries to Jamarian and Quay and sort of maybe the need outside?
I wouldn't say too much. It'll be the same thing. More of a third down package type. We got guys that can still play the wolf position on base downs, but in third down packages, yes, sir, I'll be out there.
How much is last year's loss to Vanderbilt still in the mind of you guys, and do you use it as fuel, or is it just something you've completely thrown out?
You know, it's hard to just throw that one out. You know, it's definitely on the back of your mind, but you got to think, man, we got 30-some new guys on our team, and, you know, this is a whole new team, and, you know, our mindset is completely different than what it was last year, so we're looking forward to this year, and you know, it started in practice, and I feel like we had a great day today, great start to the weekend. We're just gonna keep building on that.
Does Pavia play faster than he looks on film? Because I've talked to other people in the past, the games we're covering him, they say he's deceptively quick. Your experience seeing him on tape and then playing him on the field, what makes him such a game breaker?
Man, like you say, he's a playmaker, and I mean, I hope you don't underestimate his speed or his quickness or anything like that off film, because anytime you're in a game, everything is moving quicker. So he's just a playmaker, man. He can get it done with his legs, and like I said, he's definitely improved as a passer, so he's elite, and we definitely got to limit him.
Deontay, you talk about the lines different from last year. Are you talking about specifically between going from Georgia to Vanderbilt, or are you just talking overall?
Yeah, I'm talking about overall. I mean, that too, because I think last year we were undefeated at this time, and I don't know. I just feel like how we approach the game, the intensity in practice. I talked about that last year. Like the intensity in practice wasn't there like it was when we played Georgia, but I definitely feel like the intensity was there today, and you know, we just got to keep building on that. And you know, we already have an edge, man. We already have a chip on our shoulder, so we don't need nothing external to motivate us or anything like that, man. We know it's on us, and we all we got, we all we need.
Justin Hill got thrown into the fire a little bit in that game. What did you see from him as a guy out there?
Yeah, man. Talk about Jay Hill, man. Ever since he got here, you know, he got a pro mindset, even at being a freshman, and that's not something you see all the time, but just how he does things off the field, man. I trust him on the field, like just because of what he does off the field. And he's definitely mature to be a freshman, and you know, he definitely stepped up when he needed to, but he got to keep going.
Andrew Hill also, with James going out, he got a few pressures in that game. What did you see on him?
Yeah, it's been a baller to me. Just got his opportunity to step up when he needed to, and he did just that. He's been practicing hard as he can, and I've been pushing him in practice to keep going, and it paid off, and he just got to keep going. Got to keep it going.
You talked about defending the perimeter run and just some improvements y'all needed to make there. Just what has your message been to the defense as a captain on that front, improving in that area?
I mean, we just got to fit our gaps, man. I mean, everyone, if they get into the perimeter, that means everything's stuffed inside. So whoever got edge or whoever outside contained, they got to either contain the ball or got to show up in a run fit. So, I mean, that's something that everyone knows. You know, it's not something I really have to say. We see it when we watch the tape, so everybody just got to know to do their job on a play-in and play-out basis. Like, you can't do your job for 20 plays out of 40, 50 plays in a game. You got to do it one play at a time, every play. So that's been a focus this week, and, you know, I'm just preaching to them to the ball, get to the ball.
How confident are you that y'all can make those strides to become better?
Man, I'm very confident. You know, I'm very confident in this defense. We only getting better, and we're going to continue to get better because that's how we practice, and I got full faith in us.
So that was Alabama linebacker Deontay Lawson speaking to the media yesterday, and a couple quick things that I had at least noted from what he had to say. He basically agreed with what we were talking about in terms of the rushing yards we've been giving up, man. It's not so much week one, yes, it was a little bit more of a physicality thing, right? That lack of physicality, I should say. I would say week two, three, where, you know, after that, the yards we've been giving up more so schematically an issue in terms of not necessarily what's being called, but not being in the right fits, right? Things like that, basically what he was saying. So the good news is that's something to clean up. The bad news is, in my opinion, it's like if you can't figure it out by now, man, I mean, it's week 5/6 if you count the bye week, I guess. But you got to figure out how to set the edge, force it into the teeth of the defense. Everybody pursue the football. I mean, it's, you know, fitting the run. And I mean, it's, again, everybody has responsibilities. They just got to do that, and they got to do it with intensity and physicality, especially with the talent that we have. Now, the issue is we got a, you know, a number of injuries now, and so that'll be interesting to see how that looks in this game, especially with the absence of James Smith in the first half as well. The other thing he noted was, you know, him getting more opportunities in pass rush. Now, this is the second year in a row we're utilizing our starting middle linebacker as one of our key edge guys on third down. To me, I think that makes it clear as day. If you ever wondered if we lacked true edge players, right, and guys that can make a difference off the edge, I mean, there's your answer right there. Now, I know we've got injuries this year, but even, I mean, it sounded like he was saying he's been doing a little bit of that even before the injuries, you know? So I don't know. I guess to me, I think we clearly need to find a way to get some more edge guys that can actually get after the quarterback, because again, 2 years in a row, your starting middle linebacker is your main guy you're moving down there. I mean, I just, that's a clear sign that you don't have the depth at that spot, or at least these guys, they lack, I guess, the ability to really affect the quarterback the way you would at least like them to. That being said, we got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, we'll hit the phone lines. We got Philip on there. We'll go to him. And then at 12:15, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, and we'll talk a little bit more about this matchup, plus some more Alabama football. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
Time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 558. That's 558. The code again is 558.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers won their wild card opener in L.A. over the Reds 10-5, hitting five home runs, two from Shohei Ohtani, including one leading off the game. Teoscar Hernandez with two round trippers. Blake Snell got the win for L.A., seven innings of work, nine strikeouts. The Cubs took game one of their best of three, 3-1 over San Diego. The Cubbies hit back-to-back homers in the fifth. Boston beat the Yankees in New York 3-1. The Red Sox took the lead in the seventh on a two-run pinch single. Garrett Crochet, the winning pitcher, struck out 11 in his 7 2/3 innings. Detroit's Tarek Skubal got the win at Cleveland 2-1 with 14 strikeouts in 7 2/3. Detroit scored two unearned runs. Angels manager Ron Washington will not return next season. Cardinals manager Ole Marmol will return. And the WNBA semifinals ended with Las Vegas getting a Game 5 win in overtime against Indiana.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Previewing this Alabama-Vanderbilt matchup, we've heard from Ty Simpson and Deontay Lawson, who spoke to the media yesterday post-practice, gave their thoughts, obviously, over with the win over Georgia, but a lot of talk about their upcoming opponent, the Vanderbilt Commodores, who are looking to come to Tuscaloosa and see if they can do it 2 years in a row. They beat us last year at home, but now they're looking take on the challenge of coming to Tuscaloosa and seeing if they can do it for a second time, which allegedly Johnny Manziel claims that's the kind of S that gets statues built. So will Diego Pavia get himself a statue built after Saturday's game? We'll I guess we'll figure that out sooner rather than later. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Philip up first. Philip, welcome in.
Good talking to you, number 47. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up, Philip? How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Hey, I am perplexed and a little bit just kind of flabbergasted that we have not been able to figure out a way to get Mbakwe on the field. I know that all of the receivers are really doing well right now, and he's behind them, but I just am one of these kind of hard heads that think there's a place for him somewhere at some time, maybe not as a receiver, but somewhere on that offense helping out. He's just a great athlete. I don't get it.
Well, I think it all boils down to, I mean, you look at the receiver room right now, Philip, and I'll just be honest with you, man. I mean, the best guys are going to be on the football field. It's not going to base off of, you know, where they were ranked or their reputation or none of that. And I think it's just a clear sign right now that, look, Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, and obviously Jeremy Bernard, the most consistent of the bunch, he's not playing over any of those guys. I mean, that's just a fact. And then
I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as in another role, somehow, some way. You know, like we how we used Proctor the other night. Could he be used somehow as in a wildcat formation in the red zone? I'm just that type thing. I know the wide receivers have got it locked in. I understand that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say even after them. I mean, Lightsier Brooks, Rico Scott. I mean, that's literally five guys. So even if you're talking about just throwing them in there for some gimmicky stuff like you're mentioning, if that's the case, I'll be honest with you. Number one, defenses are going to know something's up. Now, I think if you're talking about like a gimmick because he did play quarterback in high school, maybe you could put him in there and consider doing some working him. Say like you run a couple screens with him or jet sweeps and you set up like a double pass knowing that he can throw the football because he's a former quarterback. I think sure, but I'll be honest with you. It's just not very common for guys like just to have like once. But I mean, you can do it, but I just think, Philip, we have so many weapons right now that you can rely on that I think they just feel more comfortable doing that. And you know what I mean? Like if they felt like putting him out there was going to make, you know, a huge difference or something like that, they would. I just think right now you just feel a lot better with the other guys they're putting out on the football field. Yep. I mean, I think is something that you definitely can see them, you know, get some more opportunities there. But yeah, I just think we got a lot of guys right now.
I said back in the summertime when he changed his number that he actually went to the wrong number. I think he should have picked a number that would have still enabled him to play some defense. And I think that was a thing that he kind of did wrong right there, because him picking number three now negates him from being on the, you know, same side of the field as Sab's on. So I wish he would revisit that. I think he can. I don't think it's too late. I think that was a decision that still sort of haunted him. That's a small thing to talk about, but
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. The number thing. Now, technically, they just like they do on special teams, you could throw like a jersey over, but you're right. That's way too complicated at that point. It almost makes it not worth it. But the reality was he hadn't even really been working anything defensively. So I guess that's probably, you know, why he just, you know, went ahead. But you're right. I guess for insurance purposes, maybe he should have just considered that. But I think he was set on, you know, making the switch to the offensive side of the ball. And to be fair, I mean, like, you know, he made plays during camp. I'm not saying that, you know, he's not even close to maybe cracking a spot to getting some more reps. It's just the five guys we discussed earlier. I mean, those guys are the clear top five guys. We hadn't even mentioned yet a Cole Adams or Jalen Hale, who both have shown in the past that they already can contribute, right? They did it already. So, I mean, I think, unfortunately, man, he's just in a tough spot where there's just so much depth over there. There's just really just not any room for him right now, which I personally think he should have stayed on defense, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think, I mean, he was getting reps as a true freshman, and maybe he just didn't want to play that position. I'm not 100% sure, but I think the opportunity for him to get on the field was much better at that spot. And I thought he was doing a damn good job, not even about just him playing, but I thought he looked good.
I agree.
And the thing was, he didn't even really play it. Remember, because he in high school, I don't know how much he even played at corner. I think that all was new. So I was like, all right, he did that as a freshman. Because I remember last fall camp, every time I was up there, they kept raving like, man, this dude – he's a, you know, athlete coming out of high school, hadn't really played much DB, but man, he's been really impressing us during camp. And that's why you saw him get so many opportunities. I can only imagine that he would have continued to progress and get even better at that spot. But man, I don't know, man. I guess he just really wanted to play receiver.
Well, if he's listening, I think we've got a number 14 available.
what was he wearing before? What was his other number? Do you remember?
I believe it was
9?
Yeah, I think
was
so.
Was it 9, maybe?
I believe it was, yeah.
Maybe go back to that. I don't know. Who's wearing 9? Richard Young on offense?
That's Richard Young. Yeah, I've looked at the roster, and I think I like him so much. I actually spent 10 minutes looking at the roster, and I think I came up with number 14 the other day.
Well, we'll see if that. I'll be honest, he hadn't been working it, so I don't really see that happen this season unless something.
Not right now, unless something devastating happens.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see what happens at the end of the year. I'm not trying to jump ahead, but I mean, he got in the portal once. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe, you know, looked elsewhere. But yeah, I wish he would have stayed on defense, just being honest with you. I think he would have had a much bigger impact there. Yeah. But you aren't wrong, Phillip. I do feel like he could. I mean, like a gadget guy. I mean, again, especially being a former quarterback. As a defense, I would just throw this in before we go real quick. We did used to always, if they had a receiver, like the opposing team had a receiver that played quarterback, we always would have note that and know that there's a potential for some trick and gimmick type stuff to come up. So that could cause, you know, some type of, I don't know, confusion or something. So maybe you're right. Maybe you give them a couple little snaps here or there to do some stuff like that.
Yep. Hey, good talking to you, man.
Always, Phillip. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, brother. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too.
Good deal. All right, we got to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide 100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Online
at pearlriverresort.com.
And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
And by Two Dimes. Online
at twodimes.club.
And by Druid City Regional Medical Center.
DCHSystem.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon, partly sunny, a small chance of a shower through early tonight. The high today, 88, tonight's low, 63. For tomorrow and Friday, a good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We're now joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. I'm sure you guys have seen his content, does a lot of good work covering the Alabama Crimson Tide, but I think it's Clint's first time joining us here on the Miller's Edge. Clint, welcome in, man.
I appreciate it, Christian. How you doing today, man?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar talking some football, but I appreciate you taking the time to jump on here, man. I enjoy your work, man. You do a lot of good stuff. I like your breakdowns, and I wanted to get you on here to talk some football, man. So I guess without further ado, jump right into it, man. First off, I know we're on to Vanderbilt, but I do want to just get your your initial thoughts, I guess our brief thoughts over the Alabama win over Georgia. Obviously, I know a lot of people were, I guess you say, concerned, right? Going on the road, that was probably one of the biggest question marks remaining after week one. Obviously, the physicality and intensity have returned to this team. We saw a lot better execution offensively, but the biggest question still was, can this team go on the road and play a 60-minute game and show up the way we know that they can? And that's exactly what they did. But what were your brief, just, I guess, takeaways from that 24-21 victory over Georgia?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. I think them being able to go on the road, play winning football was a perfect no, but it was a hostile environment. It was a tough, whether you're talking about tough defense, tough offense, but they played good football at moments on both sides of the football. And I think probably the most important thing for me, outside of the fact that they, you know, took this performance on the road, which was a major question mark, but it was also in the way that they did it. Like, I felt like in a lot of instances, they took the fight to Georgia, which was the complete polar opposite from what we had seen against Florida State, where Florida State kind of took the fight to Alabama. So any questions that people had as far as, you know, riding the ship and what we had seen against Florida State, you can only take away so much from Louisiana Monroe or Wisconsin. I think this was a great testament for the turnaround that these guys have had. And, you know, I think the next big test is obviously, can you handle success? We know you can handle adversity and respond when a lot of things are against you, but can you continue that when people start singing your praises? That will be the next step. But I think the Georgia game was a fantastic job of everybody kind of coming together. Thought Ty Simpson played really well. Thought the offensive line did some good things and took some steps in the right direction. A lot of different guys making plays at wide receiver. Bray Hubbard continues to play with his hair on fire. Some other good things defensively. So it was a great performance overall.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And talking about consistency, I feel like that's kind of been the tail of the tape for Kalen DeBoer and this staff. I mean, even just going back to last year, like you said, I mean, the big win over Georgia, I just remember, you know, how on top of the world everybody was. And immediately the team that we're about to face, we go on the road to face them and then kind of lay an egg and lose a game to a Vanderbilt football team that at the time people kind of were looking at as, oh, it's Vanderbilt. But I think now we know a little bit more about this this program under Clark Lee. And obviously he's done a fantastic job turning it around. And speaking of that next challenge, Clint, I mean, obviously we know Diego Pavia, he's a confident guy. And not only that, I mean, he backs it up on the football field. I mean, I've been watching this tape, and I'm sure you've been, you know, watching a lot of them as well. But obviously they present a lot of challenges, right? They've got that option-based attack, but they've expanded onto it this year, throwing the football a little bit more, a little more confidence in him, passing the football. How do you see this defense handling that, right? We're talking about a defense that has given up 200-plus yards twice now to Florida State and Georgia. This is one of the top rushing teams that we'll see in Vanderbilt so far through the season. Not to mention, and this is, I guess, probably a two-part. So I guess the first part is, how do you see this team kind of handling this challenge? But two, does it cause you some concern like it does me, knowing that your two starting outside backers, I know Yonze Pierre was kind of a co-starter as well, but you're talking about Jamarian Latham and Quay Rousseau, right? If you go back to week one, those are your two, you know, base starting outside backers. They're both out, right, for a while. And now you've got Yonze Pierre, who I wouldn't necessarily say is the most, I guess, sturdy guy when it comes to, you know, setting the edge, you know, stopping the run. And then you've got a true freshman in Justin Hill, really talented, but really young. Those guys having to take on this Vanderbilt option attack with Diego Pavia. And then you even add into that, you know, James Smith is going to be out the first half due to that targeting penalty. Is there any concern in terms of this defense's ability to stop Vanderbilt, and especially that option-based attack?
Yeah, I definitely think that is a big question mark going into the game. You know, last year, I feel like Alabama, they went typically in the past, they've matched personnel. And just last year, as far as, you know, going 12 personnel and 21, and, you know, even this year, you're seeing a lot of, you know, not, maybe not a lot, but some 30 personnel with three running backs on the field. Like, typically Alabama, Kane Womack is kind of matched personnel. Like last week against Georgia, a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of kind of 3-4 looks was the plan. You know, that's something that when against Vanderbilt, they went with kind of a standard base 4-2-5 defense, and they kind of stayed in it. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that was the plan based off of what Vanderbilt gives you horizontally, and maybe they wanted a little bit more athleticism on the field, but just some run-heavy looks that weren't being responded to with run-heavy personnel on defense. I don't know if that will get switched around, but one thing I do know is that Alabama, I mean, you've also talked about Jeremiah Beamon being lost for the season. A couple of interior defensive linemen out for the first half at least, a couple of your key edge guys out for the game for sure, and a lot longer than that, obviously. Some guys got to be able to step up, and just what Vanderbilt's doing right now as far as, you know, getting you moving horizontally east-west a lot, but then their ability to kind of attack more downfield in the passing game, that's something that I don't think you had to worry about that consistently from Florida State. I don't think you had to worry about that from Vanderbilt consistently last year. That adds a different wrinkle to this Vanderbilt offense this year, and I'll be curious to see how Alabama responds, because going into the season, we were all really high on the secondary. I think they've had some really good moments. They've also had some issues in some areas at times, but the front seven is really is where you want to be focusing in on, because I think Vanderbilt, they've gotten a little bit bigger with their offensive line. I think they're playing with a little bit more physicality up front. They've got a stable of running backs. They use a lot of different tight ends, different body types that can do different things. They just throw a lot of different things at you. And up to this point, it was kind of like, you know, last week the question was, can you go on the road and carry some of these performances on the road? Now, you know, they responded to that question. Now it's, can this defense, when they're facing this style of offense that's going to present those challenges, can they step up to the plate? And we're not asking anybody to hold them to a goose egg or 3 or 7 points or something, but can you go out there and get stops consistently where, you know, your offense can maybe try to create some sort of separation? Last year, they put themselves in an immediate hole, allowing a touchdown and then a pick six, puts you down 14 points early, completely changes the dynamic of the game, both for Vanderbilt and plays into their hand, kind of was against what Alabama was wanting to do. They won't have that advantage, or at least hopefully they won't have that advantage this year, but can you go out there and get the needed stops for your offense? Because I think while Vanderbilt's playing a lot better defensively too, in my opinion, and that's kind of getting glossed over, you know, I do think that there are some gettable areas on that defense. So I think Alabama will be able to score some points, but the big question is, can they get the stops they need to?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. And the good news is they did last week and when it mattered most, right? I mean, I think the second half, absolutely, last week's game was kind of a tale of two halves, right? First half offensively, definitely doing the job and putting up points and doing what they need to do. The second half, we didn't score any points, but defense had some big stops, led by LT Overton. When Georgia had the opportunity to kick a field goal, they almost, I thought they got that conversion on third down, but they were marked short. They went hurry up tempo, and LT Overton made a nice play in the backfield. But you're right, those stops will be important. I can see this game kind of being one of those types of games where Vanderbilt is probably going to have success on offense, but can our defense find a way when we need them to in those critical moments? Flipping on the other side of the football, Clint, I mean, obviously this offense has been firing on all cylinders. Ty Simpson has been, I mean, laser sharp at the quarterback position, not only with his accuracy, but just his ability to move in the pocket, even pre-snap. I mean, he has just been one of the, you know, really most impressive quarterbacks of college football thus far. Ryan Williams has been a little inconsistent, but obviously Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton, those guys have been really impressive as well, not to mention Latsier Brooks, Rico Scott also stepping up. But I think what really was the most impressive to me last week, Clint, was the ability to protect and keep Ty clean. Now, I know there's an argument there that Georgia's defensive line hadn't recorded a sack and they're not as good as they've once been. But in this matchup, I know you talked about Vanderbilt's defense. I think they're one of the top run-stopping defense. They hadn't had the most competition yet. But do you feel like, obviously, the passing game, I think we both can agree, should be a big key in this game. I agree with you. There's some definite vulnerabilities in their secondary. But do you feel like we continue to try to establish that running game in this matchup, Clint? Or do you feel like we see what we've seen the last couple of weeks where Ryan Grubb has used extensions of the running game, getting Jeremy Bernard some carries, whether it's jet sweep action or even just the screen game? Do you see that still being the key, I guess, element to try to get those quote-unquote rushing yards? Or do you see us still trying to work at getting, you know, some traditional running game going?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of things. I don't think they're going to give up as far as trying to establish a more traditional run game, but they do have those other elements that they can kind of turn to or lean on if they need to. I did think that the addition of Will Sanders and then, of course, playing Wilkin, Formby, Summit guard. I thought that was interesting because I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, why is that? And granted, I mean, it could just be that Will Sanders is playing really good football in practice and he's kind of forcing his way onto the field. And I certainly think that's a part of it and a strong possibility. But when you look at this guy in high school, very limited experience in his high school offense and pass protection. But one thing that we know this guy could do is he can pull. He's extremely athletic. He can get out in space, lock on a moving target, and get guys blocked. I've kind of wondered, like, a lot of tackle-to-tackle stuff, and I do think that they'll continue to try to do some of that. But that's hard to do in college football nowadays. Trying to run the football tackle-to-tackle just with all the stunts and different things the defensive lines are doing, it's difficult. So are they trying to become a more efficient or more effective perimeter rushing offense? You've got good blockers at receiver. You know, obviously, Jam, when he's being asked to lead block, he can get out there in space and get guys blocked. You're putting some more athleticism on your offensive line rather than a bigger body Ken Dewberry or a limited athletically Geno Vandermark. You know, that's something that I'll be keeping an eye on. I do think that they're trying to work things out where they can have more complementary pieces to the passing game. They know they're going to get that with the screens and the quick passes and guys who can create yardage after the catch and all that. But maybe the tackle-to-tackle stuff isn't as effective as you would like for it to be. Maybe that improves over time. But I do think they're trying to get some sort of running game going, whether that's out on the perimeter or whatever. But another element of that that I think could help is Danny Lewis. I thought he did some good things in the run game. I thought he was a good, effective blocker. You can tell that he wasn't 100% healthy, but I think the further he gets from that lower body injury, the better and more effective he's going to be. Maybe that ends up helping some. And then just Jam Miller getting back handled a lot of volume, but I don't know if he was 100% going into that game. And even if he was, there was probably some rust that needed to be knocked off. So I would expect him to continue to, you know, get better as the season progresses. Like the combination with him and Kevin Riley, I think there's a lot of explosiveness there. And that would also lend to doing a little bit more as far as keeping them involved in the passing game, but also attacking the perimeter because they got a lot of explosiveness. I could see that kind of becoming the identity of this offense on the ground, complementing what I suspect is going to continue to be a very strong passing attack.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I agree. And I think they're just kind of trucking along. And as they go, they're still kind of figuring themselves out. Just like you mentioned, the addition of all those guys on the offensive line, I think they're just working it, trying to find the best groups. But to your point about Will Sanders, man, now he's been a beast at practice over the last year or so, man, and he's just been pushing for more playing time. And it was interesting to see all those guys get those reps. And I was a little worried about all that rotating, especially in such a big matchup. But the fact that we played so well, and I think the only guy that really gave up pressure or maybe a hit was Vandermark. Really impressive just to know that you have so much depth. And I'm excited for the guys moving forward, knowing how valuable that experience is for all those young guys as they move forward and continue to get their feet wet, especially as we continue in the SEC play. Clint, real quick, man, I appreciate you hopping on again. We are joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Again, you can check out all his good work at Cover Crimson, also on his Twitter page or his X page, I should say, Clint R. Lamb. Clint, what's your just overall outlook on this matchup as a whole in terms of how it goes, man? I mean, I think the line now is around 10 or so. It might have gone down a little bit. I know a lot of people in our chat have been, you know, that a lot of people are like, oh, we know Vanderbilt hadn't played anybody, but I watched them on tape and I think they're a solid football team that you have to respect. I mean, do you feel like this ends up being one of those close games where it kind of, you know, comes down to it, they play us pretty tough? Or do you feel like with, you know, our explosiveness on offense, even though they might present some challenges for our defense, we still kind of pull away and win handsomely in this game?
Well, I'll go ahead and say, I mean, I picked the score earlier, and I think that video will be coming out tomorrow, but I'll go ahead and say it here too. You know, I can see Alabama winning by double digits. I don't think it's going to be any sort of, you know, 21-point win or anything like that. I could see scenarios where it does work out that way. I mean, Diego Pavia, he does take some risk, and man, does that pay off for him sometimes. But if you can capitalize on some of those risks and turn them into your favor, you know, they can create that separation that they need where it ends up being a much larger victory for Alabama. But I could also see plenty of scenarios where Vanderbilt comes in and wins this football game. Like, this is one of those where, because of the uncertainty with what Vanderbilt does offensively and the trouble that it has caused Alabama, and the fact that you got a guy leading that team like Diego Pavia,
who is completely fearless. He's not coming into Tuscaloosa scared of anybody or anything. You just never know with those types of players. But I do think Alabama's going to have a better game plan for him defensively this year. Does he bring another element that he didn't have last year? Yes, that does add to the the question of the entire thing. But I think offensively, Alabama's going to have enough. They've got to keep Ty Simpson upright. I think Vanderbilt presents a lot more challenges as far as their pass rush than Georgia. But, you know, at the same time, I think the offensive line is really starting to come together. They got plenty of weapons in the passing game. The scheme in a lot of ways protects the offensive line and protects the pass protection. So I think that they're going to have success offensively. And I think they have a little bit of success running the football too, if I'm speaking candidly. And so I do think Alabama's going to escape this game, maybe like a 37-27 type of victory. But there's no doubt. I mean, Vanderbilt is probably going to get some of theirs. It's just a matter of what has Kane Womack in this defense schemed up to try to limit that as much as possible.
No doubt about it, man. Great stuff, man. I absolutely love what you're doing and appreciate you hopping on and joining us. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got a lot of stuff you got to tend to. But before we let you go, Clint, please tell the listeners, man, where they can find all your content and keep up to date with all the good stuff that you're doing.
Absolutely. First of all, appreciate you, Christian. I think you do a phenomenal job, one of the best in the business. You can find me at the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. And then also you can find me on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. Certainly love engaging with everybody over there. So once again, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, man, appreciate the compliments. And absolutely, man, you're welcome anytime. We'll definitely have to keep doing some work together, man. Appreciate you, Clint.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. That was Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Like he said, you can catch them. CoverCrimson.com is the website. Cover Crimson on YouTube. And then his personal X account, Clint R. Lamb. He does a lot of nice stuff covering Alabama football. So make sure you guys check all those sources out there as well. And hopefully we can continue getting him on here, man. That was a really good job breaking all that good stuff down. So hope you guys enjoyed that. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll respond. Got some more things we got to cover before we get out of here. But we are open on the phone lines, I believe, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to jump on and respond to what Clint had to say as well. And we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for our
free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, where we were just joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson here, discussing that a little bit from the Georgia game, got his thoughts on that initially. Then we moved along and talked a good deal about Alabama Vanderbilt. Clint did a really good job breaking down his thoughts in terms of the matchups in this game, the threats that you could see from Diego Pavia and company with Vanderbilt coming to town this weekend. So if you guys missed that, obviously you can just rewind a little bit here on the YouTube stream right now. But if you go back, obviously, everything saves on here, so you can go back and check that out. Really good interview, again, with Clint. We'll definitely try to get him on here a little bit more in the future. Does a really good job with this stuff. Again, at Cover Crimson, and then Clint R. Lamb on X is where you can find all the work that he does. So appreciate having him on here. All right, it is a Wednesday, and thank you, Dwight, for this, because he reminded me. It is the teleconference day, right? So the coaches join the SEC teleconference, and Kalen DeBoer had his turn around 11:30. So let's go play catch up and hear what the head coach had to say on this Wednesday's edition of the SEC Coaches Teleconference.
We'll be next up on the call today. The Crimson Tide will host Vanderbilt on Saturday at 2:30 Central on ABC. For questions for Coach, please use the raise hand function. And Coach, while I wait on those questions, if you could take a moment to comment on your squad as you prepare for this week's home game versus Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's good to be back home after going on the road. Proud of our guys and the success we had last weekend in a tough environment against a really good football team, and we got to prepare to do it again. Vanderbilt, extremely well coached and talented, playing a high level football right now, undefeated. And there's excitement on their end, and we got to make sure we do a great job preparing, because they can pose a lot of problems for you in a lot of ways.
First up, we have Mike Rodak of 24/7.
Yeah, Kalen, looks like Keon Sapp wasn't out there at the end of the Georgia game. Just wanted to see if there was an update on him and just kind of what you've seen from the safety position in general.
Yeah, no, he'll be playing on Saturday. He'll be playing on Saturday. And, I think the safeties have continued to get better. I think all of them have, especially Keon, since we brought him up, his volume has continued to increase, working through fall camp. And, I think he's getting better and better each week, more comfortable just physically. And, I thought he's played his best football here as of late. And Bray's just done a really good job the last couple weeks, leading the charge. He's playing hard-nosed. He's, in the right places making the plays that we need, whether it's getting interceptions or forcing fumbles.
This is Colin Gay with Tuscaloosa News.
Hey, Kalen, there's been a lot of talk about Diego Pavia, what the Vanderbilt offense can do. I'm curious of what you guys have seen as you game plan for Vanderbilt's defense heading into Saturday.
I thought Diego, but then the Vanderbilt defense. All right, which one do you want?
There's been a lot of talk about Diego Pavia
in the
offense. What have you seen from their defense?
Okay, I got you. I just think they're sound. They pick and choose their times to be really aggressive and come after you. But they play team football, and they get off the field and get the ball back to their offense. There's a physicality that they have. Again, their assignment's sound, and just everyone does a good job, focusing on their job, and they get guys on the ground. They are good tacklers.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next is Mike Griffith with the AJC.
Yeah, Coach, just kind of a generalized question as far as like script and plays. You always hear about teams going in with plays scripted coming out. Obviously, there's a ton of in-game adjustments. I guess I'm just kind of wondering on your general philosophy and what you can share as far as maybe deciphering some of that, putting it in layman's terms, explaining what's prepared and what's adjusted when you go into games, how that works.
Sure. I think the best way to explain how we've done it going back a long time, and we have a bank of plays, and for the most part we try to have an order to it, especially with your normal down and distances, your first and second downs, as long as you're within being in the chain, not behind the chains. And so we really try to make sure it's about getting guys touches and seeing different looks that we might get out of certain formations, and obviously running the stuff that we do well. So there's a bank of plays. We have an order that we try to stick to, but it doesn't mean we have to. And so again, you get the ball all of a sudden sometimes in the red zone, you're going to come off that script and you're going to run your red zone plays that you've practiced. And so, and obviously third down in those special situations as well.
And just following up, you used some timeouts. I know that crowd noise is always a factor. I think you guys were able to avoid any sort of motion penalties. You might have had one in there. But how important was it that Ty knew when to take those timeouts? And was some of that related, you think, to the game environment? Or were those timeouts based on looks, as you recall?
Yeah, I think certainly one was probably just – us wanting to check into a play or not liking the look, and you know, there's that's always going to be the case. And in the first half, I want Ty never taking a snap where he doesn't feel comfortable. We don't want that at any point. But in the second half, you got to really be careful with your timeouts. And we did have a situation where the substitution piece, you know, took too much time off the clock, both from our end substituting and then, of course, the opponent doing their thing with our late substitution, you know, working the clock down to where we had to take a timeout.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Next will be Steve Maltz at WZZN.
Coach, appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
You do. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Given at least here in this state of so much talked about last year in that game in Nashville, and then just keeping your edge and what you mentioned about after the Florida State game, tell me about this fine line of maybe not putting too much on last year's game because it's obviously last year, Coach.
It wasn't easy being a meathead.
Commercial break. Not easy being a meathead. Not too sure about that whole thing. I think they're talking about beef jerky, but anyway, all right. And we'll be back in 3, 2, and 1.
Andrew.
Yeah, no, good question. I think everything you do is about learning, and everything you've been through together is about taking what you've been through, taking what you see from other people, and applying it to be the best you can be. And we use the 1-0 mantra a lot, and it's about moving forward. When you make mistakes, you own it, you accept it if it's something just happened, unfortunately, not in your favor, but you always move forward. And I think our guys have done a great job of balancing, having an edge, learning from, and also learning from, you know, what we've been through. And, you know, not trying to make the same mistakes twice, whatever that might be schematically, mindset wise going into a week of practice and a game, you know, any and all of the above. And so I'm proud of the way the guys have responded. I knew they cared, just needed to really make sure that, you know, everyone's heading the same direction and has the right mindset going into each and every week so we can execute at a high level.
And Coach, I heard Clark Lee yesterday at least expressing his thoughts on your team, comparing this team to your second team at Washington that went all the way to the title game. Do you see any comparisons between that team at Washington and this Alabama team, Coach?
I think there's probably a style of play in some cases, especially offensively, that might apply. You know, Coach Lee's a defensive mind, and even as the head coach, you can probably watch a little bit more of that. But I think the other piece is just, you know, you continue to take steps, you know, and improve on what you were. And that should happen from year to year. That should happen from game to game. So that might be what he's seeing.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. So that was head coach Kalen DeBoer during today's SEC coaches teleconference. Discussion over the phone that happened a little bit earlier today. So wanted to get that on there. And obviously he discussed a number of things there. I do want to hit a couple of things real quick before we get out of here. We got about 2 or 3 minutes, if that. But I know we were talking about Kane Womack's comments on the run. And I went back and pulled up the Georgia highlight just because I knew it had some of those explosives. And real quick, if you guys are watching on the stream, you can see this. If not, no worries, I'll explain it. But this is one that came later. This would be considered on the perimeter. I counted 2, maybe 3 that actually were on the interior. That's why I was confused. I've still only counted maybe 3 or 4 at the most that actually did go on the perimeter. That being said, so here you go. And let me just change this real quick. I just want to hit this real fast. And I'll recap it tomorrow as well since I only got about a minute or so. But as you see here, like this is just a quick example of what's happening, right? So they're spreading you out. They go quarterback design run. All right, so Gunner takes it immediately. He knows what he's doing. We're in a tight front, right? So a tight front, what that means is you've got a 4-eye, a 0-nose, and a 4-eye, all right? So one of the backers probably is going – not probably, should be an A-gap player. Other one's more like a flow player. If I had to guess, you see Deontay taking on either the center or the guard, but he's probably – he's the A-gap player here, right? That being said, you see Justin Jefferson. He's got – So you see the tight front, right? You've got B-gap player here, A-gap player, B-gap player. So you got one other A-gap player. Then he should, and Justin Jefferson, that is, should be flowing and should end up right out here because you already got guys. You guys can see you got a nose in a defensive end slash tackle in those gaps in the interior, right? They got it covered. He gets nosy. He sticks his nose down in there. So this is what I'm saying about like gap sound football. You got to just do your job. He gets nosy. He's putting his nose down in there, doesn't have business in there. And then you see up top, I think that's the Husky or whoever it is, trying to set the edge. Too soft of an edge, right? You're getting bullied by that receiver. He at least is in position. And then Damani Jackson's not paying attention and gets his head knocked off almost by that guy. And there you go. Gunnar Stockton taking off. And he's got to see that edge right there. That's a bad ball right there. So that one you can clean up, man. Just got to fix a gap, fix your gap integrity there. But I'll put that back on the tape tomorrow. That way we can really look at those big plays in the running game and see how we need to fix it. But that'll do it for us. Big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson joining us today. Big thanks to Chase Behind the Glass, Reed as well. All of our listeners, Tide 100.9 and on our stream at the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.